Would you open your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 29? Genesis 29. I'm going to see if I can get myself into some trouble this morning. I had this message a couple weeks ago, and I got pretty sick, so I couldn't give it. And then I started thinking, well, maybe that's why I got sick. God didn't want you to hear it. I don't think so either. Genesis 29. Then Jacob hurried on, finally arriving in the land of the east, and he saw a well in the distance, and three flocks of sheep and goats lay in an open field beside it, waiting to be watered. But a heavy stone covered the mouth of the well. It was the custom there to wait for all the flocks to arrive before removing the stone and watering the animals. Afterward, the stone would be placed back over the mouth of the well. Jacob went over to the shepherds and asked, "Where are you from, my friends?" "We are from Haran," they answered. "Do you know a man there named Laban, the grandson of Nahor?" he asked. "Yes, we do," they replied. "Is he doing well?" Jacob asked. "Yes, he's well," they answered. "Look, here comes his daughter Rachel with the flock now." Jacob said, "Look, it's still broad daylight, too early to round up the animals. Why don't you water the sheep and goats so they can get back out to the pasture?" "We can't water the animals until all the flocks have arrived," they replied. "Then the shepherds move the stone from the mouth of the well, and we water all the sheep and goats." Jacob was still talking with them when Rachel arrived with her father's flock, for she was a shepherd. And because Rachel was his cousin, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and because the sheep and goats belonged to his uncle Laban, Jacob went over to the well and moved the stone from its mouth and watered his uncle's flock. Then Jacob kissed Rachel, and he wept aloud. He explained to Rachel that he was her cousin on her father's side, the son of her aunt Rebekah. So Rachel quickly ran and told her father, Laban. As soon as Laban heard that his nephew Jacob had arrived, he ran out to meet him. He embraced him, he kissed him, and brought him home. When Jacob had told him his story, Laban exclaimed, "You really are my own flesh and blood." Well, after Jacob had stayed with Laban for about a month, Laban said to him, "You shouldn't work for me without pay just because we're relatives. Tell me how much your wages should be." Well, now Laban had two daughters. The older daughter was named Leah, and the younger one was Rachel. There was no sparkle in Leah's eyes, but Rachel had a beautiful figure and a lovely face. And since Jacob was in love with Rachel, he told her father, "I'll work for you for 7 years if you'll give me Rachel, your younger daughter, as my wife." "Agreed," Laban replied. "I'd rather give her to you than to anyone else. Stay and work with me." So Jacob worked 7 years to pay for Rachel. Is there anything about this story that seems just a little strange to us in the year 2014? There's a lot of strange things in that story, right? In our whole liberated movement, men no longer go out and just grab a woman, although they try. Prearranged marriages aren't so much what we do anymore, huh? I know in some parts of the world they do, but not in our culture. What was going on was culturally specific, correct? And as we read the story, it seems like it was in order, does it not? But there's something very, very peculiar about this story. Not that a guy saw a beautiful woman and decided to take her as his wife. What's about the most peculiar thing you read in that text, or I read in that text just then? What strikes you as the most peculiar or amazing part of the whole story? What? He walked right up and kissed her. That doesn't happen these days? In the back. That's very peculiar that he would say, I'll work for 7 years in order to keep her. That's pretty strange. There's something even before that. Huh? I don't know if the watering of the sheep was unusual. I don't know. It seems pretty normal. They needed water. He watered them. She was going to water them. Yes, sir. Cousins seems peculiar to us, maybe. But in a familial culture, I think marrying within the family was a good thing. They had that worked out somehow. Maybe that they weren't brothers and sisters, but some distance I think was okay. All right, I'm going to give you the idea here. Today I want to talk about love. Because what I find very peculiar about this story is he meets some girl. That's not unusual. Found her beautiful. That's not unusual. Decided he wanted her. Well, that's normal. Even that he went up to kiss her seems almost just like an aggressive male trait to me. But it says he loved her. How long had he known her? Not even a month. Not even a month. Said that he loved her. Well, let me read the last half of verse 20. So Jacob worked 7 years to pay for Rachel, but his love for her was so strong that it seemed to him but a few days. Folks, what kind of love is it that 7 years seems like a few days? What kind of love is that? How does that kind of love happen? What's going on in that relationship from the first greeting through the first month when he falls in love, apparently, and then that love is strong enough to hold him for 7 years while he can fulfill his, if you will, debt to Laban? Has anybody ever read this story before and just wondered, what kind of people are these? Now, in this culture, the woman was of a lower rank than the man, and yet Jacob was captivated by Rachel, yes? Why? Why? Was it just her beauty? I mean, he could have had others. Certainly there were other women in the culture. Was it her skill as a shepherd? Were there no other women with any skills in the land? Is what the man was looking for was a skillful shepherdess as a wife? Doesn't tell us that. What kind of communication do you think they had? We only get a little bit of it here, but from their first greeting, ladies, if a guy walks up to you and somehow something is happening in the pheromone world that allows him to approach you to kiss you and allows you to receive that kiss in a proper and orderly way, if that were to happen to you, what would be beginning in you? This has lots more to do than just physical attraction, don't you think? This is something called love. And it's really an amazing kind of a love. It's a love, I don't think we read about this kind of a love anywhere else in Scripture. Where a man works for 7 years to fulfill. And then, if you read the story, he works another 7 years. When Rachel and Jacob were together and talking and visiting, do you think they had some kind of communication? Or do you think it was, how you doing? Fine, how you doing? Fine, got to go feed the sheep. Okay, see you later, goodbye. I mean, is that the extent of their relationship, do you think? Do you think there was any kindness or caring? Do you think there was any sacrifice of self? Do you think there was any romance going on? His love for her was so strong that 7 years seemed to him but a few days. Now, I kind of knew that the men of the church would, a lot of them would be absent today, and that I would be talking to a lot of women. And I kind of expected that I'd have a lot of women going, "Oh, isn't this a wonderful love story? Wonderful love story, yes, ladies? Is this not the kind of love story every lady would kind of yearn for? Come on! Of course you would. Maybe that's the kind of love story you have. But if I were speaking to the men, and since I am to the few that are here, what would be going on in you, man, strong, leader of the culture, dominant force that you are? What is going on in you that you're able to give up your whole life for 7 years for the hand of this woman, Rachel? How did they keep their love alive for this 7 years, much less the seven beyond that? What keeps love so strong that 7 years seems like a few days? Focus? Commitment? How about God? It had to be something a lot more than just the physical, don't you think? I mean, after 7 years, one would expect they were fairly well practiced in the physical. Yes? Had to be more than just getting to know you. After a few weeks or months, they would have gone through all their family history, gotten that all worked up. People, this is a love story. It's a love story of a supernatural kind of a way that love works. What has to happen to keep a relationship fresh and exciting so that 7 years seems like a few days? I submit to you, it's very relevant today. It's very relevant for everyone in the room who's married. It's very relevant for anyone in the room who's ever wanting to be married. Because this is the kind of thing we're after. The kind of a relationship that stays fresh and vibrant and passionate for, in this text, at least 14 years. Was it his love for her? Or was it her love for him? Or do you think somehow they had to be working together to keep this thing working? Is commitment enough? Or is commitment just an evidence of one's character? Commitment then being the result of promise. Can promise yield love? Think about this. Can promise yield love? Or did love come first and then the promise? It strikes me, the more I pondered this, the more ways I tried to write my notes. It's very difficult to explain love. Writers have been writing about this subject ever since they've been writing. Plays and books and movies and every expression of art tries to convey love in its orderly way and in all of its disorderly ways. But what kind of love is it that can make 7 years seem like a few days? What kind of love is that? You wanted to share something? It's one of the simple things. Yes. It does more than confuse our intellect. It challenges us, doesn't it? Do people really fall in love? See, these are dangerous rhetorical questions to ask. It's very dangerous to say to somebody, have you ever been in love? And you're sitting next to your wife and then they say, no. It's not a good thing. I want to share with you Psalm 21, verse 7. This little message is finished as far as trying to develop the undevelopable, trying to answer perhaps the unanswerable, I guess. What kind of love is it where 7 years can seem like a few days? I hope I struck a chord in everybody's heart that this is the kind of love that we're seeking. Listen to the psalmist. Psalm 21, verse 7. For the king trusts in the Lord. The unfailing love of the Most High will keep him from stumbling. In that particular text, the person is the king. And says the person, the man, if you will, in the psalm, does what? Trusts in the Lord. And it says that the unfailing love of the Lord is what will keep the man, yes? So, folks, who has unfailing love? It's only the Lord God. If God has unfailing love, then I guess you and I could acknowledge that at times our love comes short. Perhaps we would just acknowledge that sometimes we're failing at love. And almost nothing on earth hurts worse than failed love. And I think it's because it is so simple, and I think it's because we can't comprehend it, and I think it's because of all the things on the planet we ought to be able to master, our own emotions ought to be one of them, and we can't seem to do it. And yet here the Bible assures us that God Almighty is unfailing love. Amen? And that He has the capacity to deposit that in us. Might we say in the New Covenant, Christ in you, the hope of God's manifestation. What is the manifestation of God if it's not love? Are you connecting the dots? Christ in you. The confident display of God's glory, or if you will, the manifestation of the character of God. What then is the manifestation of the character of God? In Pentecostal circles, we would say, well, speaking in tongues or having prophecies or healings and deliverances, that's a manifestation of the power of God. Yes, it is. Absolutely it is. But none of that comes from any other source but this one source, the love of God. Are you in me? That this manifestation of Jesus Christ that you and I want to be able to do can only happen if we are containers of Him. I cannot give what I do not have. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Husbands, you cannot do that if you don't have the love of God in you. Wives, submit to your husbands and respect them. Ladies, you can't do it. You can't do it on your own if we don't have the love of Christ in us. And I know when it goes bad, it goes really bad. But I wanted to give you a text this morning to show that when it goes good, it goes really good. And that with Jesus Christ, all things become possible. Would you page forward to Psalm 24? Psalm 24 is from this week's reading. Excuse me. I was going through my scriptures this week and trying to get myself out of my little pity party, if you will, my absorption with just me. And I got to Psalm 24 as a part of our read, and here's what it says. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to Him. For He laid the earth's foundation on the seas and built it on the ocean depths. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It's been quite a couple weeks. It's been an interesting time to reflect on all kinds of things. What kind of love is so strong that 7 years seems like a few days? I not only want that kind of love, I think my wife deserves it. I think if a man takes a woman to be his wife, she deserves the kind of zeal and the kind of passion and the kind of dedication that Jacob was giving Leah. Notice that Jacob didn't treat her like a slave girl. He didn't treat her like a concubine. He didn't treat her like some property. He didn't take her for granted. He didn't just assume he had rights. Do you see, men, how Jacob treated his wife? He obviously treated her with such care and such kindness that for her to yield to him was not only easy, but it was her pleasure to yield to him. Or was it the way that Rachel first greeted Jacob that captivated him? Was there something in that spirit realm where God connected them and he looked at her and she looked at him and they had this instant You, me, us, we. Chemistry, and beyond chemistry, spirit to spirit. And then in our culture, look what we do in our culture, people. Oh, we get married, we have the ceremony, we do the honeymoon, then we get back and we get the mortgage and the kids and the minivan. We do all the things you're supposed to do, and then we find ourselves buried in stuff and debt and all kinds of things. And what has happened to a love so strong that 7 years seems like a few days? What have we done to that love? And what's happened to the communication between husband and wife? If you take nothing else out of this sermon, take this as a marching order today. If you're married, go home and talk. Have some conversation. And I don't mean about the bills or who did what last week. How about talking about, well, what kind of love was it that they had? Have we ever had that kind of love? Where would that kind of love come from? Who would be the source of this kind of love? Now, I knew I was in thin ice. I knew this would be dangerous because there's obviously people are sitting here thinking, shut up. I don't have that in my life. I don't want to get next to that guy. I don't care if that woman talks to me again. But I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I rebuke the work of the enemy that comes to rob and kill and destroy relationship. And instead, I invoke and pray blessing on relationship. The enemy only wins when he breaks us up. And so my ministry to you today is to come to Jesus Christ and to let him fill you with the kind of love that can make 7 years seem like a few days. And then it won't be Pastor Skip's message that's the problem. The problem will be whether you're paying any attention to what God has to say. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for the way you reveal your word to us, sometimes gently, sometimes not so. Sometimes you're very subtle, but sometimes your word just screams at us. I would pray for marriages this morning, oh God, these covenants that have been made, these promises that have been given. I would pray, oh God, that there could be a revival and a renewal and all kinds of a redevelopment of love and marriage. We thank you, O God, that where you are, all good things are. And so come and live again inside us. Manifest yourself as you display through us. We pray in Jesus' great name. Amen? Amen. Hey, well, God bless you guys for coming today. I was glad to be here. I saw the Harrells in the kitchen. There's lots of stuff to eat today, right? We have coffee is ready. So I just want to bless you with this benediction. May the love of God spill all out of you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.